Sports Week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening, and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The Confederation of African Football will hold its annual awards ceremony on January 4th in Accra, Ghana. An Egyptian player, though, already has won a big prize. Liverpool striker Mohamed Salah won the BBC African Footballer of the Year award for 2017. The 25-year-old Salah was presented with the trophy at Liverpool's training ground by the English Premier League club's German manager, Jurgen Klopp. Salah is leading the Premier League in scoring this season with 13 goals. He also helped the Pharaohs of Egypt qualify for the World Cup for the first time since 1990. Current and past members of the Pharaohs praise Salah for winning the award. Arsenal midfielder Mohamed Elneny wrote on Twitter, "Best African player, proud of you, bro." Omar Gaber, a defender who plays for Major League Soccer's Los Angeles FC, also wrote on Twitter, "Congratulations! Well-deserved, Picasso!" And former Egyptian star Mohamed Abu Trika, who is now an assistant coach with the Pharaohs, wrote this tweet, "Congratulations! You made us proud! The best is yet to come." And who knows? The best for Mohamed Salah could come with Liverpool in the UEFA Champions League tournament, or perhaps with Egypt at the 2018 World Cup in Russia. As I mentioned during Monday's Sunny Side of Sports, Liverpool has been drawn against Porto of Portugal in the round of 16 in the UEFA Champions League. And in what's shaping up as a very exciting round of 16 matchup, defending champion Real Madrid of Spain will play Paris Saint-Germain, which is currently leading the French league. PSG's assistant sporting director and former player, the Brazilian Maxwell, sizes up Real Madrid.
I think they have many qualities. They have a lot of strength, quality players. They have also, we know that when they play home, they have a lot of offensive power. But we have our qualities, we have our players, our ambition to continue in this competition. So we're going to do everything. We have a staff that knows them very well from Spain, so I think we have all the qualities also to go through to the next round.
Meanwhile, Real Madrid's Director of Institutional Relations, Emilio Butragueño, says PSG most definitely will be a challenging opponent with quality players at every position.
I think they are really very strong in every department of the field. They are very solid in defense, very talented in the midfield, and offensively they have players that are able to win a match on their own. So we have to be at our best if we want to qualify, but at the same time I would like to underline that we are the holders and our players, they always rise to the occasion. I'm sure they are going to play very well and live up to our fans' expectations.
That's Emilio Butragueño, the Director of Institutional Relations for 12-time European football champion Real Madrid. And Emilio was talking in Switzerland at Monday's UEFA Champions League draw. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, We'll take a look back at this year's IAAF World Championships in Athletics in London. Turning to athletics, the year's most important competition took place in August when London staged the IAAF World Championships in Athletics. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017, we'll hear from some of the athletes who earned acclaim in the British capital, and we begin with a six-time Olympic champion from the United States.
Well, it's always fun to run the 4x4, and you never really feel great by this time of the championships, but it's just all about getting out there with your teammates. You know, there's something special about that. So just dug deep and wanted to, you know, have a good leg for my team.
That's American Allison Felix, the most decorated athlete in the history of the IAAF World Championships. Felix won two gold medals and one bronze at the championships. On the final day of competition in the British capital, Felix won gold in the 4x400 meters team relay, a day after winning gold in the 4x100 meters team relay. Allison also earned a bronze medal in the women's 400 meters final to give her a record 16 medals at the World Championships. Allison Felix has also won 9 Olympic medals, including 6 gold, during her great athletics career. She says she would like to hang up her track spikes after the 2020 Tokyo Games in Japan.
Well, I would love to make it to 2020. That's kind of my goal. I would love to end my career there. And so, but, you know, I'm just kind of seeing where life takes me. And as long as I'm enjoying it and having fun and still, you know, at an elite level, then I'm happy to continue to reach that goal. So that's kind of my mindset.
Allison Felix was one of the veterans on a USA team that dominated the medals table at London 2017. The Americans won 30 medals total in London, nearly 3 times as many as second place Kenya. Breaking down those 30 medals, Team USA tallied 10 gold, 11 silver, and 9 bronze. As I told my friend Maxwell on Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM in Nigeria, I know USA Track and Field, the governing body for athletics here in the USA, must be very pleased with the performance of the American squad in London. In addition to those gold medals in the women's 4x100 meters and 4x400 meters team relays, 5 American women won gold medals in individual events. Let's give them shout-outs. Emma Coburn, the surprise winner in the 3,000-meter steeplechase, Brittany Reese in the long jump, Phyllis Francis in the 400 meters, Corey Carter in the 400 meters hurdles, and Tori Bowie in the 100 meters dash.
I kind of had an idea, but I didn't know. I didn't want to get up celebrating too soon and look crazy. So I just kind of like wait until, you know, just sat down and waited till they put on the board to confirm it. You know, and at that moment, I was like, it finally happened. Finally, everything's finally paid off, all the sacrifices.
In men's results at the World Championships in London, 3 Americans won gold: Justin Gatlin in the 100 meters dash, Sam Kendricks in the pole vault, and Christian Taylor in the triple jump. In the 100 meters, Gatlin knelt on the track and then bowed to the retiring Jamaican superstar Usain Bolt, who won the bronze medal and later hurt his left leg in the 4x100 meters team relay, a disappointing end to maybe the greatest athletics career of all time. The silver medalist in the 100 meters, Christian Coleman of the USA, prays Bolt.
You know, he's done some things that, you know, 20 years ago, you know, not many people would even, you know, thought could be done. You know, he has the record in the 100 and 200, so, you know, he's pretty much like the greatest of all time, you know, right now, so.
The 60,000 fans at the Olympic Stadium cheered for Usain Bolt in his final world championship, and the Lightning Bolt heard their cheers.
For me, it was brilliant, you know what I mean? The support hasn't changed, you know what I mean? I expected this. It's just really sad that I have to walk away now. But the energy of the crowd was outstanding as always, and I really loved them. They made me feel so at home and so welcome. My fans really loved me, and I really appreciate that. For me, I was saying goodbye to the fans, and for me, I'm just saying goodbye to my events also. These are my two events that I've dominated for years. So I was just saying goodbye to everything, you know what I mean? I think I almost cried. It was close, but it didn't come. but I was just saying goodbye. That's pretty much it. I was saying goodbye to my events.
Just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, reporter Samson Omale will take a look at some of the African highlights at the World Athletics Championships.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Reporter Samson Omale joins us now with some of the African highlights at the 10-day World Athletics Championships in London.
Kenya came in second behind the United States on the overall medal table with 5 gold, 2 silver, and 4 bronze medals. South Africa took the third spot with 3 gold, 1 silver, 4 bronze medal. On the final night, Asbel Kiprop failed in his bid for a fourth consecutive 1,500 meters gold medal, but Kenya still celebrated a dazzling 1-2 finish with new champion Elijah Manangoi leading home Timothy Cheruiyot in 3 minutes 33.61 seconds.
To become a world champion, it's not a very big, not an easy thing, you know. It's not a joke. I've trained well, up and down, so I'm really happy about becoming a world champion.
Olympic 5,000 meters medalist Kenya's Hellen Obiri claimed her first major when she ran a tactical race to dethrone Ethiopian Almaz Ayana of the world 5,000 meters title.
I think I'm so grateful. It means a lot for me because I've training hard. This year I was focusing to win world championships. My dream was to win, and I've done it.
In the 800 meters event, Caster Semenya won her third world title using her finishing trick to sweep past Niyonsaba, Burundi. Semenya won with a season-leading 1 minute 55.16 seconds.
Of course, this is a perfect ending. You know, we had a bronze in Tau 5, gold in 800 meters. Obviously, we're the best in a 2-lap. So we quite thrilled with the performance. We happy with the PB. It's a national record. It's amazing, you know. It's all about hard work and dedication.
Speaking shortly after picking up her silver medal in the 800 meters event, Francine Niyonsaba of Burundi said she was excited at the opportunity to have a podium finish at the World Championships.
This medal, I think, it is a key for the Burundians. All Burundians are very happy. I knew all Burundians were watching me, so I'm so excited.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association action Monday night, the Chicago Bulls surprised the visiting Boston Celtics 108-85. It was only the 6th win of the season for the Bulls against 20 losses. Chicago is tied with the Atlanta Hawks for the worst record in the NBA. The Celtics, meanwhile, have 23 wins, the most in the NBA, against only 6 losses. One reason for this loss is the Celtics played without their star point guard, Kyrie Irving, who was sidelined because of a bruised left quadriceps muscle. One of Chicago's international players, Nikola Mirotic, led the way on Monday night with 24 points. Mirotic has an interesting international background. He was born in Montenegro, and he represented Spain at last year's Rio Olympics basketball tournament. Bobby Portis added a career-high 23 points for the Bulls, who won their third straight game. Elsewhere around the NBA Monday night, the Houston Rockets won their 10th consecutive game, rallying for a 130-123 victory over the visiting New Orleans Pelicans. Clint Capella scored a career-high 28 points for the Rockets, while James Harden, still sporting my favorite beard in basketball, scored 26 points, including 12 straight points for Houston in the fourth quarter. James Harden also tied a career high with 17 assists. Harden is currently leading the NBA in scoring at 32 points per game. He's also second in the league in assists with 9.5 each game, just behind Oklahoma City's Russell Westbrook, who is averaging 9.8 assists per game. Westbrook scored 30 points and had 7 assists on Monday night, but it wasn't enough, as the Charlotte Hornets scored a 116-103 road victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Tuesday?
Well, you talked about earlier Mohamed Salah getting that BBC award. Congratulations to him on that. And a lot of congratulations coming in on social media. One person sent out on social media that these are the awards that Mohamed Salah has won this year. He's been the 3-time Liverpool Player of the Month, 2-time Champions League Player of the Week, Premier Leaguer of the Month, and now the BBC African Footballer of the Year. So 2017 has been very kind to him. In fact, one fan even called him the Egyptian Messi. So
Egyptian Messi.
Yeah, quite a nice thing to be compared to Lionel Messi, of course, one of the greats of the game. But as we see, anytime any of these awards are handed out, there are many people saying it should have gone to their favorite player instead. One tweet said Victor Moses, a finalist for the award, plays for Chelsea, and the Super Eagles of Nigeria should have won for his talents on the field. Then some thinking Salah's Liverpool teammate, Sadio Mane of Senegal, should have won. So you see a lot of that handicapping, but by and large, a lot of congratulations going out to Mohamed Salah on the award.
And the common denominator among those players you mentioned, Andrew, we hopefully will see all of them at the World Cup in Russia. All their teams qualified for Russia 2018, Senegal, Nigeria, Egypt. So I think that's going to be nice to see those top African stars showing their skills on the biggest stage in football.
Absolutely. And a big qualification for Egypt. I think it's the first time in nearly 30 years that they've qualified for the World Cup. So that's going to be a team to watch, I think, especially now that Mohamed Salah is picking up all these awards.
And just to point out, maybe he'll pick up more hardware in Ghana early in 2018 when the Confederation of African Football will hold its annual award ceremony. They give out the award for African Footballer of the Year and also African Player Based in Africa, two different awards. So Mohamed Salah would be up for that African Footballer of the Year prize, the biggest prize to be awarded in Accra. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we talk a lot on the show about Serena Williams, and with good reason, because she, of course, has more Grand Slam tournament titles in the Open era than any man or woman with 23. She leads the pack overall. And, of course, the hope is that she is going to be returning in January to tennis after having her first child this past year, so she can try for number 24 at the Australian Open. Even the tournament's director, as we talked about last week, said that he expects her to play, but we haven't heard anything from Serena or her team on whether or not she'll be there. But we might have, Sonny, as of yesterday, gotten a little bit of confirmation that she will be there from none other than Serena herself.
Okay.
Because on Monday, she posted a close-up photo on Instagram. It's a pair of legs, which I presume are hers, taken from the knees down. And at the end of those legs are a pair of white Nike tennis shoes with a big swatch of sparkly gold running from about the middle of the shoe up the back through the heel. And the caption that goes with that photo, Sunny, says, "Be excited. Be very excited. Dot, dot, dot." So even
I'm excited.
I'm excited. I mean, you know, even though it's a cryptic message, fans are saying this is the clearest indication yet that Serena will indeed be back for the Australian Open and sporting some pretty cool kicks while she's there down under in Melbourne. Of course, she could be just, you know, selling these new Serena shoes or something.
And another Nike ad.
Maybe another Nike ad if they named that building after her. Maybe she's doing some advertising for Nike. But no, I think fans are taking this as clear an indication as we've had so far that she will be returning to tennis come January in Melbourne for the Australian Open. And Sunny, they are pumped. In less than a day, that photo has already gotten nearly 300,000 likes on Instagram and hundreds of comments. And many of them have one common theme that fans cannot wait to see her back on the court. As one person noted, and I think this is kind of encapsulates all the comments that we're seeing, they write, "The boss is back." And she has been the boss in tennis, and they're hoping that she'll be back.
Well, it's good to keep in mind, she practiced during much of her pregnancy, according to media reports. And I would guess her daughter, maybe shortly after she was born, Andrew, maybe Serena maybe put a little toy tennis racket in the crib.
Yeah, you know, keep in mind that Serena was pregnant when she won the Australian Open last year. I think she was about, 8 or 10 weeks pregnant. So a lot of jokes that her daughter has already won a Grand Slam, even though she wasn't born yet. So we'll see if new mom Serena can maintain and defend her title down under.
What else is trending on this Tuesday, Andrew?
Well, Sonny, the saga of the Ball family continues. Of course, when we last left them, LiAngelo Ball, who was playing for the University of California at Los Angeles, was reportedly pulled out of the school by his, some would say, overbearing and attention-seeking father, LeVar Ball. This came after LiAngelo was suspended from the team for shoplifting during a team trip to China. This feels almost like more like a soap opera recap than a sports story because there's so many twists and turns and so much that goes on in the story. But anyway, after LiAngelo Ball left UCLA, which is one of the best college programs in the country, fans were perplexed. Why would he leave? Where is he going to go? What school is going to take him? Well, we know now where LiAngelo will be going. He is going pro because LiAngelo has signed to play professional basketball in none other than, very bizarre, Lithuania. And his 16-year-old younger brother, LaMelo, will be joining him. They'll be joining Prienų Vytautas, a team that's in the Lithuanian Baltic League, hardly a European powerhouse by any stretch. In fact, as a lot of people noted on social media, there are reports that this team has had serious financial and managerial issues in the past. There are some accounts that players haven't been paid for playing. So once again, fans are perplexed. Why throw away the chance to play in the National Basketball Association, to play at a school like UCLA and go overseas? A very bizarre move by LeVar Ball to pull his children over there. We'll see if it pays out, but right now a lot of head scratching going on.
And my understanding, Andrew, once you sign a professional contract, you give up your collegiate eligibility, so the younger Ball brothers won't be playing U.S. college basketball, that's for sure.
No, and from what I've read, I believe there's only one U.S. college basketball player who has gone into this Baltic league in Lithuania, and he only stayed there and played for about a month before he left because the league is in such shambles. So, you know, of all of the different clubs overseas in Europe and elsewhere in the world, to put his, for LeVar Ball to put his two sons into this club in particular is a very bizarre move. But that has fans talking. What's the hidden angle? Because he's a showman, LeVar Ball. He always is trying to promote his sons.
Right.
So
right.
What does he have up his sleeve? It might end up being the Ball League instead of the Baltic League. We'll see if it happens.
I like that. The Ball League. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the December 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The recent legislative and municipal elections in the Republic of Equatorial Guinea were a chance for the government there to live up to the goal of widening the country's democratic space, a goal that was the focus of Equatorial Guinea's celebrated National Dialogue of 2014. As longtime President Obiang Nguema Mbasogo said at the time, democracy and national unity must be priorities in the problems that affect the nation. Where there are no public liberties, there cannot be institutional development. Unfortunately, as U.S. Ambassador to Equatorial Guinea, Julie Furuta Toy, wrote in a recent op-ed, the opportunity for the government to expand the country's democratic space, demonstrate that it hears the voice and the will of the people, and improve its image on the international stage was missed in November. The elections were a step back, she wrote. The balloting of candidates did not allow the public to vote freely for candidates to represent them at any level, since the voters only had the choice to vote for a party. The members of the public were registered to vote in a process that was not transparent and was not observed by the international or domestic observers. And the final count of the votes was not at all transparent or free. Additionally, restrictions on internet and communication systems were enforced. Reportedly, the Democratic Party of Equatorial Guinea, the party of President Nguema, won the legislative and municipal elections with 92% of the vote. At the Chamber of Deputies in Malabo, only a single member of the opposition from the Citizens' Party for Innovation was elected, leaving 99 seats to the party in power. Ambassador Furuta Toy emphasized that a vibrant and loyal opposition is necessary to create economic opportunities for everyone. Without hearing the voices, without an independent representative democracy, the government limits the ability of its citizens to make informed choices for the future of the nation. As she wrote earlier this year, the greatest resource of Equatorial Guinea is not its abundant supply of oil and gas. The greatest resource of Equatorial Guinea is actually her people, said Ambassador Furuta Toy. It is past time for the leaders of Equatorial Guinea to ensure that Equatorial Guineans are allowed the democratic space required for their country to flourish.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
We
are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.